Hey, it's Jennifer.
Hello there, Jennifer.
The announcer of the week because of my support for the Ronald McDonald House during Bids for Kids.
I'm glad you did.
I lost my mom about a year and a half ago, and we always used to laugh and tease about the Lori and Julia show.
That's understandable.
So I know you'll be getting a kick out of this, Mom.
Aw, that is so sweet.
So here they are, broadcasting live from the MyTalk studios in St. Paul, Lori and Julia.
All right, my talkers, we're hanging out with Lori and Julia on this productive Tuesday, as Lori likes to call it. I don't know if I agree with that, but I'm going to have to go with it for sure. Let's have some fun with the next hour here with Lori and Julia, and we are all excited to hear what you guys have to say.
Oh gosh. Well,
look at how productive we've been today. We've got a book on, we've done so much in an hour.
Absolutely.
So much talking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I watched the disaster called The Bachelorette with two women this morning, Gabby and Rachel.
Oh, no.
I do like watching it, though. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, I'd watch a show called Gabby and Rachel Goes to Paris. We loved it, big part of it, because we were in Paris.
It was really fun. And I kept thinking, are these places you like to go, Lori?
The very first scene when whichever gal they're walking in front Gabby. Of a church. Mm-hmm. It's a small, that's the Saint-Germain church that is one of the older churches in Paris, and it's right across from Café du Magou, which is where the
Mr. Magoo goes every once in a while.
No, it's Magoo spelled M-A-G-O-T-S.
I like what you did there.
Yeah. I've been wondering where to find Mr. Magoo. He's at Café du Magoo.
There's two cafes, Café Flore and Café du Magoo, okay, that are side by side. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Casey and I used to call it du Magout, but I know that's not right. I was like, oh, that's the little church. If you sit on that side of the cafe, that you'll see. So, I mean, like I said to you before, Paris always stays the same. So you see Montmartre, it's always Montmartre.
And I always thought it was the Montmartre.
You know, the Eiffel Tower with the twinkling light. I mean, it's just so pretty. It was so fun to go to Paris. But I am telling you, poor Rachel had to cry again about the men's lack of interest in her.
And I feel like there's some who really like her, though. But she really,
this pool of men has been cut in half. And the men sit around and decide which women they like.
It
doesn't make any sense.
It would be really, well, it's already happening. So
I know, but yeah, they'll never do this again.
No, we're both watching it. The meatball guy with the dark hair. With a little split between his teeth.
Listen, just the fact, he's the only one whose name I know because his name is Meatball, which is...
I kind of like him, though. I think he's kind of cute. But the ones... but to have this girl sit and cry, this woman.
And a rose ceremony. We've never had this many rose cocktail parties get canceled because of crying. These two ladies could sue ABC for damages. This season is so crappy.
Emotional damage.
And I think they thought the audience would want to see a competition, but actually we like when Gabby said, Rachel, you want to go to the bathroom so they could talk, that we like seeing the two friends supporting each other.
I do.
And when Jesse Palmer, he is so wooden,
he
and he
is
came
so
out
bad.
And speaking French in front of the Virgin cruise line that appeared to be completely empty,
but it was good branding, good sales for Virgin.
Maybe, but I don't know anybody who's gone on a Virgin cruise ship.
Jason will next time because there's no children.
Yeah, well, he should have talked to me. He's an unofficial travel agent. I told him that. Don't ever travel without my good authority.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a, travel...
You have traveled everywhere, Lori. You
but
really
I mean,
have.
I have yep. good senses of what people like. And
yes.
Jason is a traveler like me.
Mm-hmm. Five-star.
Four and five stars. And no children. Absolutely no children.
Why bother with those people?
Okay.
Yeah. No children. Okay,
but these two are going to talk about on a podcast at some point down the road about how toxic this was, and that the best thing to come out of it is
their friendship.
And going to Paris with each other. And I would watch Gabby and Rachel Goes to Paris. But all these guys and, Then what, in the Eyes Wide Shut, were they wearing at the rose ceremony with their capes? I thought I was looking at Nicole Kidman looking
around. It was cold. It was cold on the cruise ship, Lori.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the capes, though. I got to be honest. Okay. I liked their dresses for the rose ceremony.
Isn't big enough.
No, it isn't. It got deleted by losing three of them because they didn't accept a rose right away.
They should have let someone, they should be doing tradesies.
Yeah, they should trade.
Yeah.
That would have been more fun.
Anyway,
it's hard. All right, so once
they leave Paris, I don't know, how much longer I'll stick with them because I really can't. Rachel seems so miserable. Every week she said, "I wish I was going. No one here likes me," and that in fact appears to be true. And the other one, I don't know. I just would like Gabby and Rachel. That's turned out to be the best thing about the season, and the guys are really a. Not a great selection of men there. Yeah. And then that dink and his dog and calling the ladies biatches.
Oh, and then lying about it and being busted on national TV. All right, we're not going to go more because, all right, we watched last night Blackbird. Patrick Gracie, I've run into him yesterday.
Oh,
He said
Ray Liotta?
The Ray Liotta's. Yeah. So Blackbird is on Apple TV, okay? It is...
so good.
You guys are going to love it, and it's your type of show that I am watching before you for once.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so it is based on a true story of this guy named Jimmy Keane, and he got 10 years behind bars for a drug thing gone awry.
Is that played by Ray Liotta?
No. Ray Liotta's his dad.
Yep. Okay.
It's played by... Terrence Edgerton.
Love Taron Egerton.
And he is so...
Rocketman.
Different... Mm-hmm. In this role, he is H-O-T hot.
Yeah.
Compared to his Rocket Man when he played Elton John. And, I listened to the book Elton John's memoir, Me, and Taron is the narrator.
Yeah.
It is so good. He's so good. So to see him in this role as this, he's great, but he's got charisma. Charisma. And so they're trying to catch a serial killer. And it is based on a true story. You don't want to read too many spoilers.
No. Right. Because is it just like six episodes or something?
I think it's more than that. We're five in. I think it's like eight, Grant.
I bet you it's eight. Yep.
Yeah. Because the old man was a disappointing seven. The one with Jeff Bridges. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of was like, is that it?
That's it. That's the ending wasn't the greatest. Yeah. So it looks like Blackbird. Six episode, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. It looks like it. Yeah. So it's eight.
It's eight. That's a good number. I feel
agree.
Like.
Eight to ten.
It's so good. He is just, he can just hold your attention. He is mesmerizingly beautiful. And it's the Ray Liotta character at playing his dad, who's this cop. It is so good. I'm just going
to
tell you.
Didn't he try to convince the younger one to work with the police or work with them?
Yeah. So basically, what it is, this kid, the Terrence, his
Taron,
name is
Taron.
Taron Egerton. He gets 10 years, and he was supposed to not get that much. And so they give him a deal. If you can go to be transferred into this maximum security prison, the big one in Kansas. What's the big one that we read about in books and stuff? What's the massive one in Nebraska? The big, big one.
A super max.
Super max in the heartland.
I think it's in Colorado, actually.
No, it isn't.
Seems a weird thing for you to get hung up on.
Well, I am hung up on it because it's a naughty, horrible place to go. Because he's in this nice place and then he has to go and try to get information out of the serial killer about where the bodies are.
Got it.
But we're not even there yet and I'm two in, but it's so good.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say...
Enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah. And Patrick said the fifth one is just, you're going to just die.
Yeah.
It's good. There's my final... That's my final word on that.
So good.
Oh, I just was so excited to watch something so...
Julia,
so farting good.
Yeah,
I was gonna say,
let's go before any more words come out of your mouth that don't.
But it wasn't gonna be a swear word.
No,
it wasn't. It sounded like a farting.
It was because I did you fart?
No.
All right, let's go.
We'll be back.
Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. All right, so we've got the correct spelling on the cafe from our friend Tony over it.
I never know how to pronounce it.
How do we pronounce it? Cafe
du... No. Cafe de Magoo.
De Magoo.
And
okay.
It's D-E-A-U. No, D-E-U-X.
Okay. And that's day.
Cafe.
Yeah.
And then D-E-U-X.
Yeah.
D-E. And then M-A-G-O-T-S.
Is okay. Say it again.
Magoo. Magoo. Mago. Mago. De Mago.
Okay.
Okay. Cafe de Mago. Oh, for God's sake.
We'll forget
I'm
going
to go back to calling it Cafe du Mago.
I like it.
Cafe. I know right where it is.
Okay.
And
I love it. We're talking about this place in Paris.
And the Saint-Germain Church, which is across the street from it, is absolutely beautiful.
All right. I love it. Yeah. If you're going to Paris. All right. So the Union Gospel, let's see here. The Union Gospel Mission in the Twin Cities is celebrating 120 years.
Wow.
And they are having a celebration this Wednesday, which is tomorrow from 3 to 7 o'clock at their the Twin Cities Men's Campus on University Avenue, 435 University Avenue. And what they're doing is they help so many people in the homeless communities, help them with finding, you know, providing shelter, meals, a place to stay. And they've got integrated programs to help people get on with their lives if they're looking for that. But tomorrow they're having free music. The Steels are going to be playing, Heart of the City Band, Sarah Renner, juggling performances. They're having an open house, but they're looking for towels. They need towels, gently used and or new towels. And if you can't make it to their event tomorrow from 3 to 7, they have a Union Gospel Donation Center.
Where?
On Lafayette Road in St. Paul. Okay. And the donation hours are in the morning, 9 to 1. It's $5.65. But towels are something we often hear about. Mm-hmm. And there's a really good story about one of the, a homeless man who came to the mission several years ago, is now a graduate of their long-term residential addiction recovery program, and he has a food truck. And he's going to be featured at the open house's food truck.
Cool.
So that's very cool. They're doing another food truck thing. So anyway,
I can't.
Homeless.
Yeah, I can't imagine how exhausting that would be to be homeless.
No, it's an acute crisis, and it's been on the rise. And so, we just want people. You can help out simply with towels.
Okay.
So
thank you, Julia.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Let's see here. Other random news is, can you believe, Grant, I wanted this for you, that Tiger Woods turned down between $700 million and $800 million?
Yeah. You know, two
from
reasons.
The Saudis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it for two reasons. One, he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
And two, his image with the PGA and how he helped build the PGA is more important than $700 million.
Yep.
And I see
than
why.
Than
blood money. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I respect him more for this.
Me too. And I also understand why some of the other guys are doing what they're doing, trying to make a change in the PGA. I don't like it, but I see why they're doing it.
Well,
but this
I don't
was
get
smart
it. Is
by
it a
Tiger.
Competing,
it's a competing golf tournament?
Guaranteed
golf.
Money.
It's guaranteed money for the golfers.
$100 million for most of these guys, guaranteed, who are coming on. Whereas you go play in a tournament, unless you, if you get in the top 10, you might bring home, you know, a few hundred thousand. If, but you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
So these guys play in the tournament, no matter what they finish, no matter what, they get $100 million.
Yeah.
And so they offered $700 to Tiger. I respect him because he's true to his roots there with the PGA. And the image of the PGA needs to stay that way. And I think keeping him with that was a big part of it.
Yeah. I think so too. Okay. Yeah. Have you guys felt dizzy lately?
No.
No. Maybe after that conversation.
I was, you know what? I got dizzy watching The Gray Man. There were some vertigo moments in that movie.
The fireworks and the lighting and all the fight scenes were, but there was a lot of like bright flashes and fireworks and
the height thing and the
moving
jumpy,
around. There's like a camera that was on a drone.
Yeah, I was like, oh, a couple times I just shut my eyes. I got vertigo. So yes, I've had vertigo.
You've had vertigo a
just
little?
In the last week from a movie.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed that the Earth's rotation is faster.
No, I have not noticed.
I heard
that.
This
1.59 milliseconds faster.
Okay, like who would notice that except for a rocket
just
scientist.
Asking you.
Yeah,
I'm just asking you if maybe you felt a little dizzy. Apparently not.
Oh, I'm up to my eyeballs in space because Casey and I started For All Mankind,
the new
third
one?
Season.
Oh, it's out, huh? When did that come out?
It came out in June.
2 weeks ago.
Oh,
no, June. It was June.
I think the last episode might just be dropping because Apple does once a week. I think they drop three.
Yep.
And then they do the once a week
because
you're going to run into that with your Blackbird.
I know.
Yeah, I ran into it with my original Pretty Little Liars.
Yes.
On HBO Max.
And it makes you, I kind of like that. I'm okay with that because three is enough of a tease to get you in.
Yes.
And then you can wait, but you need, I like the three. Yeah. I think it's a, they must have done so many
trials,
different algorithms and everything to figure out what people want to do and what they're willing to do to do
We're going to Mars in this season.
Sorry.
And you know, it takes 9 months to get there.
I thought it was 4 years.
Back.
I thought it was 4 years.
Well, it does take 4 years in that you can only go to Mars every 26 months when the sun and the moon and the axis, there's just like, we've got a, you got a jump window of space time when you can launch.
You still like that show?
It's good.
Oh, it's good.
I'm kind of bummed that I just found out that I have to add something else to my thing watch list. My gosh, I have too much stuff.
I know it. And then there's this thing called life.
Right. Your love life, your going out life.
You have to deal with other things in your life. It's called life. All right. This is something that I can't believe hasn't happened to now. What Snickers has is coming out with its own shakeable Snicker bar blend of seasoning so you can put it on ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't done this with the Snicker bar where you crumble it up and freeze everything?
On popcorn, even. Think about that. Dump some on some, like, popcorn.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because we always put Milk Duds in popcorn.
What is taking them so long to get on this?
I don't know, but
you should have been hired as the VP of marketing at one of these places. I could have been hired for OPI and I would name dirty nail polishes. I'd have like double entendre nail polish.
You and could have done ice creams.
And we could have skipped this whole radio experiment.
It's been a good one, though.
We could have skipped this whole deal.
No, you would have been great running the team, coming up with flavors and things to do. Other ways to sell more of what we already make.
Julia, CEO of Ben & Jerry's. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, I just love. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm going to go back and just tell everybody there's nothing better than Cherry's Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Ben & Jerry's cherries. Lori doesn't like cherries because she was in a pie eating contest and they went up her nose. But for the rest of the world,
Does anyone really, other than, you know, Bing cherries, does anyone really like cherries?
I love them. I love a Marciano cherry in an old fashioned.
I love all cherry flavored, cherry candy. I love cherry. Real cherries.
Okay. Oh, I love cherry.
Mm.
Cherries flambé.
Yeah. You know what? I think I've been ruined from that pie eating contest.
I told you. You had one up your nose.
I swallowed two whole big cherries and they connect. That's when I realized your nose connects to your stomach.
Yes. And other people who use the floaty pot or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Do you notice that that's a weird experience?
Oh, yeah. When you do the nose flush.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's an eye opener.
All right. What's happening with the traffic, Grant?
Nasal opener. Yeah.
It's got a name. The Neti Pot. The Neti Pot.
Neti Pot.
Well, I just have to say, even though I feel like we have had quite a bit of TV talk and down the road TV, Amazon had a couple of interesting announcements about TV shows, you guys.
Okay.
So Selena Gomez is producing, we don't know if she's starring in, but Amazon, Hulu, it's Working Girl.
Oh,
a limited series.
The Melanie Griffith, Harrison Ford one?
That's right. Got 6 Oscar nominations in 1989. I mean, think of Top Gun Maverick, how well that did at the box office.
Right.
And it's been a busy year for Selena. But yeah, she's in final negotiations with 20th Century to produce a reboot.
Yeah.
Not a series. So it would be a reboot of the movie Working Girl.
I've heard also potentially, and like you said, the producer and star is nothing's been confirmed, but potentially star.
Movie.
I love that movie.
I kind of did too.
With Sigourney Weaver.
Melanie Griffin.
Ford and
Griffin.
Sigourney Weaver was kind of, she was like the Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
She was so great.
And Melanie Griffith was the working girl from Staten Island.
Yep.
You still ride that Staten Island ferry for 25 cents. Each direction. And then Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be, Amazon announced that he is going to star in a Roadhouse remake.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Love
as in
it.
We went crazy for Swayze, but now we can ache for Jake. It's been over 30 years since Roadhouse, with one of the most homoerotic scenes ever, with between, you know, Mustache, Sam
Elliot,
and Patrick Swayze.
Yes, yes.
I can't remember that movie at all.
Oh, well, remember Patrick is he's a bouncer.
He's the bouncer.
He's the lead bouncer. And then
he's like, was he a fighter that became a bouncer at the Rough and Tumble?
Yeah, he had some. Yeah, he had a past that they brought him in because of his rough past.
Yes, like he was a fighter. And so same kind of thing at a Rough and Tumble Roadhouse in the Florida Keys. And then he discovers, so rather than in the, I think Roadhouse, was that in like Texas?
It was in Texas.
Yes.
This one will be in Florida.
Okay.
And Doug Liman, L-I-M-A-N, and he has done, I can't think off the top of my head some of the stuff he's directed, but he's directing this and he can't wait to put his thrilling spin on Roadhouse and what Jake and I are going to do to this iconic role.
It's a home run for them.
I just, you know what's crazy is when you're telling me that they're going to be working on some future movies in that first part of this segment, I go, I wonder if anybody's ever going to do Roadhouse. And then you literally brought that to me.
Oh, you're kidding.
I mean, I just had this thought. I'm like, I would love to see this redone.
I watched that movie because it is just man candy testosterone.
Kelly Lynch.
Lynch is in it, and it's just, I don't know. It's
really, what was that, like 1989?
It's 30 years ago.
The lag, 22, 12,
92. Yeah. Yeah.
That date,
1992, I guess, is what it would have been.
Wow.
Right? And Doug Liman, he directed Swingers, The Bourne Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Edge of Tomorrow, which is a great Tom Cruise sci-fi movie with Emily Blunt. Edge of Tomorrow, if you've never seen that. But yeah, he's a good director.
Yeah, Doug. Of course.
So anyway, who else is going to be in it that we know?
I didn't recognize any of the other names.
I don't recognize
Lucas
any.
Lucas Gage from White Lotus. Everyone liked Lucas.
Oh, yeah. He was the kid that had the thing with the concierge or the general manager.
I think it sounds fun.
Cyndi Lauper got a job. She's going to be a reoccurring guest spot on a upcoming series on Prime called The Horror of Dolores Roach. Got an 8-episode order, and she is going to be in it. It's about an ex-con who returns to her former home of Washington Heights 16 years after beginning her sentence. She has $200 to her name and the clothes on her back.
Wow.
So, yeah. Lauper will be Ruthie, a Broadway theater usher who moonlights as a private investigator.
I kind of love that. I love that.
I love the idea of her as a hawk-eyed villain because she's so bubbly and whimsical. I guess I didn't ever know that she wanted to act, but, you know, she's like, you know, that's kind of fun for her.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And then did we know there was going to be a TV series, miniseries, Fatal Attraction?
I feel like we did. We've talked about this. Yes.
So they're filming it, and Joshua Jackson was seen on the streets, like in New York City, looking like a budget Michael Douglas with that hair. And Lizzie Kaplan is in it.
I love her.
And Paramount. Yeah, we're getting this from Paramount. He really was good in Dr. Death.
Oh.
And The Affair he was in, but it's going to air on Paramount, and it's they're resetting, they're broadening the lens so that it isn't just seen basically through the eyes of Michael Douglas, where like she's just crazy. This
right.
woman, she got your D and then she went crazy.
So we're going
to update.
See it through her lens too.
Yes, it's going to be a little bit more fair, but I can't tell by the fashion what era we're in. If it's going to be the 80s.
It kind of looks 80s.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
Anyway.
I like that era.
Yeah. And I think Lizzie's hair is meant to be like Glenn's curly hair in Fatal Attraction. Now, that was a disturbing movie.
Okay, I took a class on it, I swear.
You did?
It was in part of our humanities class at the University of Minnesota in 19, whenever I went back and tried to graduate.
The movie came out in 1987.
Yeah, that was the year I took this humanities class.
Okay.
And we talked, you know, all the symbolism in it, all the hidden nuggets, you know, that you'd call Easter eggs now. But we spent a good bit of time on it in my humanities class. And it was just fascinating looking at the movie from that perspective. It is the most disturbing movie. Oh, I hated it.
The same director that did our movie that we hated about the affair with...
You
know...
I know who you're talking about.
She was married.
She was wrapped up in the carpet. Yeah. He was wrapped up in the carpet. He was married. Who are these horrible people?
No.
Diane Lane and the guy...
The handsome guy.
Didn't the handsome guy have a baby with someone? Can anyone help us with our brain? What was that?
Adrian Lynn is the director.
Okay, what is the name of that stupid movie we hated? Oh. The Affair.
The Affair is what it was called.
Unfaithful?
No. Unfaithful.
Unfaithful.
Who's the guy?
Oh, the guy is...
So he did both these movies, Julia.
Richard Gere, Oliver Martinez.
Oliver Martinez, who
was married to Halle Berry.
Yes.
There we go.
But Adrian Lynn did both Fatal Attraction and then...
The Affair.
All those years later, Unfaithful.
Oh, I hated that movie.
And the fact that you hated both those movies on the two different...
Well, they were both disturbing.
And this is kind of what he's known for.
So let's wrap it all around.
I just feel like if there's still a class and they were looking at something like that, they would need to include Adrian Lynn and include the, you know, Unfaithful, which came out in 2002. You know, because we left that movie theater, we hated the way the story was being told.
We saw it at the Mall of America. We hated it.
Because the woman came off like a loser.
She was so... It was such a... She really was a loser.
Yeah, that's what we didn't like about her. We're like, God, you're going to have this hot affair, and now you're going to walk away or broke... It felt... I don't know what it felt, but we didn't like it, and I could see how it would have been a good class.
Yeah.
A good discussion.
It was interesting.
So this is supposedly... updated from that, nothing to do with Adrian Lynn, and it's filming right now. So it's not just a bitches be crazy after you give them the D.
Which it's going to be.
Kind of what Fatal Attraction made it seem out to be.
Mm-hmm.
It really did.
You know?
I still remember that cute white dress she had on off the shoulders, the elevator scene, the rabbit boiling in this pan.
And what's her name? Who was the wife?
Oh yeah, Annie Archer,
a Scientologist.
And her name
Tommy is like an enforcer in the church.
Yeah, and Ann Archer was in like The Hunt for Red October and many.
But she's a very quiet Scientologist.
And she was beautiful,
and her son was
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, we can draw.
All right, we can get there.
Yeah. We can get there. We can sew it. We can't thread the needle, but eventually.
While you guys were getting there, I had to go think about that moment between Sam Elliott and Patrick Swayze. Do you remember when he's doing the training and he's punching the bag and
then he's just beautiful homoerotic
and they're breathing heavy and he goes, we're not doing this, and then Sam Elliott goes, I love you, mijo. And it's epic.
It's just homoerotica at its finest.
I want to know who's gonna play Sam Elliott. I like the Jake Gyllenhaal, but we got to know who's playing Sam Elliott.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be fun if he came back actually in a little cameo for that?
We would love it.
I love it,
the secret owner of the
that would
house.
Be cool.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah, we like that. Okay, listen, we come back. We're going to Hollywood speak. What does it mean to be hiding behind an umbrella? Well, Hollywood speak this. We were talking about the director, Adrian Lynn, directing a couple movies that we, you know, Fatal Attraction and Unfaithful. He also directed 9 1/2 Weeks, Flashdance, a movie called Jacob's Ladder, which
I vaguely remember.
And Deep Water, the Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas movie, which has never gotten a theatrical release.
Nope.
He's 81. I don't know what's going on, but he did get an Academy Award for Best Directing for, I believe, must have been Fatal Attraction.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he has done, I guess it just shows you, you can't make a hit every time, Julia.
No, you can't.
That's the Hollywood speak on that. Just like Netflix spent $200 million on The Gray Man and got exactly 8 days at number one and was replaced by Purple Hearts, a low-budget original romance that would have normally been airing on the Lifetime, but was on Netflix starring Sophia Carson and Nicholas Gazeltine.
Wow.
Yeah.
They might have jumped the gun on that sequel and spinoff. I don't know. I liked it. There'll be plenty of people, I think, that'll dig it.
But, yeah.
But you're right. That's too short of a stint.
Gray Man will need to stick around until mid-October to...
make money back?
Oh,
because
really?
Its staying power is what you need for an expensive original.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Like Squid Game, that movie, that series, they spent some money on that, but it was number one...
For a long time
in multiple countries.
Right.
That's the name of the game for expensive original streaming things. Ooh. And unfortunately, Netflix really must have been, you know, they must have known that maybe Gray Man wouldn't do that well. That's why they did all the layoffs that they did a couple months ago, doing advanced bloodletting.
Good call. Wow. That's a deep cut right there.
I mean, but I think because they had to have tested this. Gray Man's been out. It's been finished for... Two years.
Yes.
So I think they might have, they're like, okay, we're going to just prepare ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think they thought that they would get more eyes on it by announcing the sequel.
Yeah.
And the Ana de Armas. And maybe they didn't. I thought, you know, I was too much influenced by Casey, who she wasn't in the, not in the books, that character. And he just was like, I don't know why they put in...
Yeah.
A hot woman. I said, because she's a hot woman.
Yeah.
I would just say agreed 100%. Because she's a hot
woman. Don't you understand how movies are made sometimes?
100%. Okay. Rudy Giuliani is sued by ex-wife Judith. Pay me $260,000 now or go to prison.
Oh, what does she have on him?
Hold on to your hair dye.
Okay.
His ex-wife wants him to cough up more than $250,000 or go to prison. In new court papers filed today... she claims that the former mayor and one time, whatever, blah, she owes him money and he hasn't paid her. And she owes her money on their house in Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
The condo was listed for $3.3 million but didn't sell. He's required to pay $200,000 regardless of whether it sells. She's only gotten $60,000. She says that they were each in part of the divorce agreement responsible for their own country club fees. He hasn't paid hers, so she's had to pay his.
Yeah. And well, whatever is in their divorce decrees.
100%.
And Rudy has shown us a long time ago who he is, and who he is not a good person.
They were married 15 years.
Right, but do not forget, Judith was having an affair with Rudy while he was married
to his first wife.
To his wife.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone in New York knew about it, Judith.
Yep.
And we had his wife on our show when she wrote a book about how he broke her heart and she met her college boyfriend at a reunion and found chance at second love again.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So Judith, a little karmic payback.
20 years on this radio station.
We can make it all.
20 years.
Everything relates. But I'm just saying, Judith is getting some of her karmic payback.
Yes, she is.
And whatever is in the divorce agreement. But I think Judy Giuliani, whatever the hell her name is, you know, the girl's got to do what she's got to do.
Okay,
but somewhere the first wife is laughing.
Okay.
Because they had such an out loud affair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was in all the tabloids.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, okay, Taylor Swift seen hiding behind an umbrella as she gets off a private jet.
Well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's trying to, after being the biggest climate criminal out there of the celebrities.
Well, she says that other people use her jet.
But the fact that she's hiding behind an umbrella makes me think she doesn't rent it out as much as she says. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, now I'm getting where you're going.
Getting where I'm going.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, what do you got to hide?
Yeah.
The optics of it just don't look
good. Yeah, it doesn't line up properly.
No, it properly doesn't. So just get, you know, stand tall. Now, if you've all, I'm gonna flight attendant speak something for you guys.
Okay, this ought to be good.
Well, it's I'm going to explain something about travel that people don't realize.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Grant.
Yeah, I'm marking the time right now.
Something that you may not realize, but I know about because I...
Well, I've been in the travel business for a long time. We know people in the travel business. We know people from all across the board.
Yes.
Bag handlers to CEOs to flight attendants and everything in between. Flight attendants do not. And I worked at Sun Country, and you know, I did something really good for the flight attendants there. Got birth control covered under their insurance.
Okay, finish your story.
Okay, but flight attendants, you know, don't get paid until the gate's
closed.
No, till the door closed, yes, and the handbrake gets lifted.
Yes.
So this is why flight attendants are not helping you with your bags, and they're trying to move you along. Yes. And tell you not stay in the aisle.
Yes.
And I mean, it's sure, it all has to go in with on-time departure. So right. I think that's always been part of the reason why that happens.
Yep.
Because you need to have the whole crew invested in getting your planes to push off on time.
Yep.
And if you just started paying everybody, yep, the minute they parked their car at the airport, you know, there's no...
The minute they got on the plane, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? So that's why flight attendants are not necessarily helping you with your bag. And if you're too cheap to pay for a bag and you are worried about your bag filling the overhead, don't worry. They'll take it at the gate and they don't charge you a thing. And then it's one of the it's first one off. Just a little trick. You can't bring a big, huge suitcase
Wait, what did you say?
So, okay, you know how sometimes people really, they're budgeting their money and yes, they do yes, not want to yes, pay yes, for
yes,
a bag.
Yes, yes, yes.
To be checked, but yes, they've got overhead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if your overhead bag is like how you and I like to do, might be a little overstuffed, mm-hmm, and maybe you're not in the front of the plane or even, but you're in the back and you're worried about the overhead space, you can always check your bag at the gate.
Yes, you can, which is wonderful.
For free.
Yes. And then
the bag comes off first.
Yep.
It does.
And then you don't have the stress
and it
of
is
slowing down people or
stressful.
Finding a bin that is nowhere near your seat and people are looking at you and you're sweating and you're in your mask or maybe not. But, you know, all the same, the flight attendants are, you know, they don't get paid until. And so the same with the pilot. So that is why.
I like that.
That's actually genius. That's a nice little tip.
It's just that's how they do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that
it,
because so much of an airline is measured on time performance, you know, all of that. All
100%.
Those statistics are all blah, blah, blah. Okay, so do we want to Hollywood speak Brad Pitt about the skirt? Wearing a skirt. We're all going to die, so let's mess it up. Sometimes he really is a surfer dude.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Isn't he?
He's a laid-back man sometimes.
Yeah, really,
based on that interview we tried to play earlier,
we
too.
We did. Gosh, we tried.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. So disappointing. All right, we'll be back.